A lot of people make New Year's resolutions that might be hard to attain. But this year, maybe it's time to make a resolution to wake up and get more Jesus in your life. Hey folks, it's Karen G from the communications team. Welcome to our Tower Hill Weekly Podcast. We hope today's message gives you some clarity, but most importantly, we hope the following message inspires you to take another big step in your own faith journey. This week, our sermon is about how to awaken yourself to the power of Jesus. So let's kick it off to Pastor Jason Tucker right now.
Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. It is so good to get to worship with you together this morning. Welcome to our online service. If you are watching us for the first time, a very special welcome to you. I pray that you feel as welcome as you are, even through the screen. And again, if you want to see anything going on in the life of the church here in this new year, just go to our website, towerhillchurch.org. You may even be watching it right now from the website, so you're already there to see everything that's going on in the life of the church. Well, of course, it's 2021, so everything is magically better. We've just turned the page on 2020. Okay, well, maybe not magically better, but we definitely have a lot of hope as we move into this new year, and I pray that we all just lean towards hope, knowing that God is going to show up, and maybe, just maybe, he's going to use this horrible year that was to move us forward into something much, much better. Well, today, as we go into our new year of messages, we're starting with what is traditionally known as Epiphany Sunday, talking about the three wise men. Now, we're going to get to that in a minute, but this is a sermon, this is a message, it's all about awakening. And I think part of the new year and part of 2021 is to be awakened to the fullness of God and everything that he has in store for us. Well, I don't know about you, but I love hacks, like life hacks, where they teach you how to do something that you didn't know, and it kind of blows your mind because you're like, oh man, that's like such a better way to do it. Like peeling the banana peel from the bottom instead of the top. Apparently, that's how monkeys do it. I remember seeing that for the first time. I'm like, yeah, that is way better. I had no idea all this time. Or maybe you ever been to the fast food restaurant and you see like those little ketchup or condiment containers and you have to fill like 9 of them just to put it on your burger. Actually, there's a hack to that. If you just take it and unfold each little part, it looks almost sort of like a cupcake holder. Cupcake paper, and it holds like 3 times more. So this way you don't have to fill so many little things. I'm like, that's a great hack. This is my favorite. I seriously, when I was doing some research on life hacks, this one, I had no idea, and I'm really embarrassed that I didn't know this before. So you ever have that problem with tin foil where you start pulling it out, and then eventually like the roll itself just kind of gets messed up, and then it's like falling out and everything. It's just a big mess. Did you actually know this? Maybe you do. Did you know that there is a built-in system for this? It's a tab on each side that you push the tab in, and it holds the roll in place. I mean, who knew? I certainly didn't. Or maybe, did you know that this to-go cup that you get at like a fast food place, I guess fast food is on the mind here in 2021 for some reason, is that you could take the lid and you could turn it into a makeshift coaster because the little slots on the lid fit perfectly into the bottom of the cup. It's actually designed for that so that you're not going to mess up grandma's table. Here's the thing. When I look at life hacks like this, I'm awakened to a whole new way of seeing things that were always there. I just needed someone to show me. There's a real kind of powerful version of this in a film that came out in 1990 called Awakenings. It's a true story, and it was acted beautifully by Robert De Niro and Robin Williams. Maybe you remember this movie. It's a true story of Oliver Sacks, who in 1964 administered a certain experimental drug to catatonic patients, and they woke up. They awakened from their catatonic state, and they were able to live their life. And kind of resume wherever they left off when they went into that catatonic state. And every time I think about that, I think about Awakenings. That was the name of the film, Awakenings. And I think about Awakenings, I can't help but think spiritually about how we all need to be awakened to those things that are right in front of us, that have been there the whole time. We just needed somebody to show us. See, I think we are catatonic until Jesus awakens us to life as it really is. I know for a lot of you, that's been your experience, that you had a moment where you came to faith in Jesus Christ, and it's like you woke up. You saw things as they really were. Well, at the risk of using probably the most overused movie example ever, I'm going to do it anyway. It's like in The Matrix, when he has the choice between the two different pills. One will show you things as they really are, and the other one will keep you in the catatonic state. I feel like in our relationship with Jesus, when we come to faith in him, we're choosing to see things as they really are. And it's not all good, right? I mean, we see the reality, the painful reality of sin, but we simultaneously are awakened to the hope of the gospel. We see just how bad things are, but then we see just how good the good news is, and we are awakened to this whole new life that was there the whole time. We just had no idea that it existed. There's a wonderful song called Your Love Broke Through by Keith Green, one of the very early songwriters in the contemporary Christian movement. And he wrote this song that talked about this phenomenon. I want to read a couple of the lyrics for you because I feel like they're really powerful and speak to this awakening to Jesus in our lives. It starts, like a foolish dreamer trying to build a highway to the sky, all my hopes would come tumbling down, and I never knew just why. Until today, when you pulled away the clouds that hung like curtains on my eyes. Well, I've been blind all these wasted years, and I thought I was so wise. But then you took me by surprise. Like waking up from the longest dream, how real it seemed, until your love broke through. I was lost in a fantasy that blinded me, until your love broke through. This is the reality of coming to faith in Jesus Christ. It is an awakening to things as they really are. And this is what we celebrate when we celebrate Epiphany. And the three wise men. We celebrate the awakening of the world to life as it really is. The awakening of the world to Jesus Christ. And how these three wise men, these foreigners, these outsiders who knew nothing of the Jewish people or what it meant to live in that way. They weren't Jewish. They weren't living in the way of God's people. Showed up. Jesus' love broke through even to them. Even if they didn't fully understand what was going on, it was a sign of a great awakening that was to happen for the world. So we're going to talk a little bit about their story and see what it has to do with our awakening. Here is the passage where we get the three wise men. It begins like this. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Now, this is fascinating, right? This is really, really interesting. I know we've all heard this story and we've sung the songs, but do we really understand or know who these wise men were and why they showed up? I think there are some really interesting questions here. What do we really know about them? Well, magi, the word magi comes from a Greek word, magos, which means, it's where we get magic from. So there's kind of a mystery there. Like, I don't know, were they sorcerers? Were they wizards? I don't know. But somehow, some way, it had to do with, like, a magic they were known for. And then it never says, actually, that there were three kings. Interesting, like, we three kings of Orient are. It actually never says anywhere that they were kings. In fact, what scholars believe is that they're priestly Persian caste, so they're foreigners, they're kind of mysterious, they're different. They're not the people who we'd expect to see here. We'd expect to see the Jewish people showing up to see the Messiah, but That's not them. That's not who shows up searching. Those aren't the ones who are following the star to the manger. So these are not followers of Yahweh. In fact, they most likely practiced a religion called Zoroastrianism, which is, it's a wonderful Scrabble word if you could ever pull that one off. Zoroastrianism, which it's kind of like if you took astrology and astronomy and put them together, mixed them up into a religion, that's kind of what they were. So why in the world were they showing up? My question is, how did they know about the prophecy that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem in Judea? And why did they care? Why did they come? What was the point? I've got a lot of questions. I don't think Scripture really answers them other than just to acknowledge that this is what happened. People who shouldn't have understood, understood better than the people who should have understood. Let's continue. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. Now, that's interesting. I don't know that I ever really put that together until I was going over this passage again, but it implies Herod had no idea. The one who was supposed to know that Jesus was being born had no clue. It was the wise men from the east that alerted him to the fact that the Messiah, or they believed the Messiah, was being born. And of course, that was no good for him because he didn't want everybody following this king. He wanted to be followed, so he had plans to get rid of Jesus so that it would never come to that. Let's continue. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. Right, wink, wink. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. I love that they were overjoyed. And what does that mean? That these foreigners, these not God followers, were overjoyed at the presence of Jesus. Were they just overjoyed because they made it? They found where the star ended? Or was it something more? Let's continue. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The most famous gifts ever, right? Well, this was sort of standard for how you would welcome a king. This was diplomatic protocol that you would bring whatever's kind of valuable, what represents value from your country, and you would bring it to a king, a foreign king, as a sign of honor. Now, these gifts, of course, had symbolic significance. They were giving gold to show his kingship, and myrrh was actually a foreshadowing of his death because it was an embalming spice. It was something you would use in the death process, and it was really a prophetic gift that I don't think these three kings had any idea just what these gifts meant, but they were saying something really profound about who this newborn king is. And then frankincense was often used in worship, and so it was a sign of the priestly element of Jesus. So it's really kind of amazing. You get, in a way, a shadowy foreshadowing of prophet, priest, king, Jesus Christ, who is born. And there is no way, I believe, that the three wise men knew that about Jesus, that their gifts, somehow divinely inspired, meant more than they even realized. These gifts were more profound than they could possibly know. I wonder if we too, when we bring our gifts to Jesus, sometimes we think they don't amount to much, but they may mean profoundly more than we realize as we offer ourselves in worship to the King. We'll get back to that in a minute. Let's continue with our scripture. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. That's interesting too, right? So God intervenes directly with them, and this is before Pentecost. This is before the Holy Spirit's speaking to all the believers. God warns them, the Spirit warns them in a dream to go a different way. And they listen. I mean, I've got so many questions about this. But I feel like we learn a lot from the Magi, more than maybe we realize, having been so familiar with this story for so long. So what is it that we learn from them? I think the first thing that we learn is the inclusivity of the gospel. The gospel, this is signifying that the gospel of Jesus Christ was going to be much bigger than the Jewish people. It was an open invitation to the rest of the world. And this sign of the Magi coming to Jesus, it is a marker. It's a symbol of this worldwide plan of God's through that baby. It wasn't just for the Jewish people, it was for the world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. And to kind of show that, this is a great symbol of that in these foreign wise men. The inclusivity of the gospel. The gospel is not just for insiders, but for outsiders. Those who were far off have now been brought near. This is what Ephesians says. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. I think the other thing we learn from the Magi is we don't have to understand it all. Just bring a mustard seed sized faith. You don't have to understand everything about Jesus to come to Jesus. In fact, when I came to Jesus in my life, I didn't know anything. It wasn't until after I had this experience of Jesus that I started to learn what that experience really meant. Listen, some of you, you're listening to this message today, and you're like, you know what? I don't know that I've ever really experienced Jesus. I know a lot about Jesus. I know a lot of information about Jesus, but I don't know that I've really experienced Jesus. I want to tell you this. It's not too late. And when you do, it's going to change everything. You are going to have an awakening. And I think what happens to a lot of Christians is we get lulled to sleep, don't we? We get lulled back into a catatonic state. And we just rely on the information we know about God instead of actually a living, breathing relationship with God. But it's not too late to be awakened. God is in the business of awakening. Bring a mustard seed faith and bring your mustard seed-sized gifts to him. Give him what you have to give. It doesn't matter if it's perfect. It doesn't matter if it doesn't look like much when you put it out there. Just give him what you have, and God's going to do the rest. Your gifts are actually more profound than you will ever know. And then third, I would say this. We learn that if you take the journey, God will help you. If you decide you want to come to Jesus, even if you, and I'm going to say this, this isn't just for somebody who has never had faith, and this is like an altar call moment, but for sure, it can be you. But I'll say for you, those of you watching who feel like you have had faith for many years, I don't think that excludes you from coming to Jesus all over again to awaken those parts of you that have become catatonic. This is the renewal that we experience in Jesus all the time, isn't it? And I don't know what our plans are for this year. I know that, you know, we're just all hoping for a better year, but if it doesn't start with an awakening from the Lord, well, we're going to miss it again. We're not going to flourish the way that we've been designed to. Even in this new season with all the hope of, you know, vaccines and a different way of being, nothing's really going to change until we have that awakening. I mean, think about even just God helps them through the star, the dream, the timing of it all. God took these people who were far off from him and gave them everything they needed for the journey. Don't you think God's going to do the same for you? If you're like, you know what, I need to come back to Jesus in my life, he's going to give you your own star. He's going to speak to you in his own way. He's going to help you make the journey. You're never doing it alone. And here's the good news. When you are awakened to Jesus, the journey leads to joy. That yes, even in the midst of all the challenges that this year is going to bring, when you are awakened to Jesus, it's going to increase your joy. It doesn't make life easier, doesn't make all your problems magically vanish, but it does give you more joy. That's what the awakening is about, because you see God for who he really is. You see that he loves you so much and he's never gonna let you go. You see that he's gonna give you everything you need for your journey. What happens when I'm awakened by Jesus is I'm awakened to a whole new way of seeing things. Seeing things through the eyes of faith. It was always there. I just needed someone to show me. Here's a question for you. Do you need an awakening in 2021? Maybe you could think about what area of your life has gone catatonic. Whatever area of your life has Jesus kind of been shut out of? Don't waste another minute. Invite him in. Take that journey to Jesus. He's going to make sure you get there. And when you do, you will experience an awakening. Amen.